Okay, Northampton Kollel, share given by Gershon Heppner on Sunday, the 14th of September 2008, Yud Dalet Elul Toshin Samaches. And we're doing a share on Tehillim, chapter Yud Gimel. So start by going through the whole chapter as we always do, and then we'll look at it in detail. Lam Natsech, Mesmele David. This word Lam Natsech is a word we've had a few times. Mizmele David, a song to David. Ad ona Hashem tishkacheni netzach. For how long, Hashem, tishkacheni, will you forget me netzach forever? How long will you carry on forgetting me forever? A sad statement. Ad ona, for how long or till when, tas tiras panach memeni, will you hide your face from me? Ad ona oshis eitzos benafshi, for how long will I place advice on my soul, meaning for how long will I need to go on dreaming up my own plans to escape problems? Yogun bilavovi yomom, there is sadness on my heart in the day. Ad ono, for how long, yorum ovi aloi, for how long will my enemy be exalted over me? Habita, gaze, look. Aneni, Hashem, answer me, Hashem, Elokoi, my God. Ha'ira enai, give light to my eyes, penishana moves, lest I sleep death. In case I, sleep of death. In case I die. Penyoma ozi, in case my enemies, lest my enemy will say, Yecholtiv, I have conquered him, or I vanquished him, I prevailed over him. Tsara yogilu, my enemies will rejoice, ki emot, because I slip, or when I slip. So here's David saying, I've got terrible problems. How long are you going to carry on forgetting me? How long are you going to carry on hiding your face from me? How long do I need to dream up solutions to my own problems? Sadness in my heart. Please look at me, look at my problems, answer me and give light and don't let me die. And my enemies are likely, in case my enemies will say that they've conquered me. And with all of that, nevertheless, Pasuk Vav, nevertheless, I, b'chastucha v'tachti, I trusted in your kindness, yogel libi b'shurasecha, my heart will rejoice in your salvation. In other words, I trust that you're going to save me, and I'm relying on that chesed, ashir l'Hashem, I sing to Hashem, or I will sing to Hashem, ki gomal eloi, because he has bestowed good upon me. So, in a nutshell, it's a very sad chapter with David bemoaning his difficulties and coming at the end with a bit of an upbeat saying, I trust in you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I look forward to your salvation and I will rejoice in that salvation. So what exactly is the chapter dealing with? Well, Mefarshim say the chapter is dealing with all times of Golos. And we'll see exactly at first to different Goluyos and we'll see exactly how that works. Others learn that it's a reference to David's general problems in being chased by Shaul. And he refers to Shaul as his enemy, and while he's on the run and he's in the desert and he can't support himself, he has to turn to other people for support, and he can't learn Torah properly when he's on the run. And all these terrible things that have happened to him while he's escaping from his enemy, from Shaul. Shaul wasn't really David's enemy. Shaul thought that David was Shaul's enemy. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's have a look at the pasukim. Let's go through them in detail. Lam natsiach mizmor leDavid. This is the opening pasuk. It's really to introduce a song for David. Now, this word Lam Natsiach, we've had a couple of times already. The first time we had it was back in Perek Dalad, and I'd like to chazar on what we said earlier about on the word Lam Natsiach, but I've also found a few chidushim about it, so we'll include those as well. Chapter Dalad begins with Lam Natsiach, as indeed do any ideas how many chapters in Tehillim begin with Lam Natsiach. I haven't counted them, but I saw a number in a sefer.
12.
12? 54. 54. I haven't counted them, but I saw in a sefer. I've got a sefer at home, an amazing sefer called Mavo HaMikra. It's written by a scholar, it's a professor, and I can't remember his name now. Oh, I didn't write it down. Pity. He's a professor of something or another. And I found this sefer in a second-hand bookshop in Hay-on-Wye. And, you know Hay-on-Wye? Yeah, and there's all these second-hand bookshops there. New Wales, And we were there on holiday, and I went round to all the second-hand bookshops, and I said, there's so many of them, I don't have much time. I charged into each one, and I said, have you got any books of Jewish interest? And nearly all of them said yes. And nearly all of them, what they call Jewish interest, is books about Yoshki. Fair enough. But I did find a Tanakh there, and I found a Singer's Prayer book, and I found this sefer, and I also found a beautiful Jewish history book. Anyway, so I bought them all, basically. Whatever I found, I bought, because I thought it's a mitzvah to rescue it from these shops. So what will they do with them if they can't sell them? They'll probably dump them somewhere. So I found this sefer, and inside it, interestingly enough, it's got the name Zalman Greenbaum. Now, Zalman Greenbaum was a professor of English here in the UK, and his brother, he never married. He died young, and he remained a bacha. It was very sad, but his brother used to daven here in our shul. I remember him from my childhood. So I contacted his brother in Eretz Yisrael by my uncle and aunt, and I said, I've got a few sparim which belong to your late brother. Would you like them back? And he said, no, so it's okay, you can keep them. Now, anyway, this sefer, Mavo HaMikra, he writes that there are 54 chapters of Tehillim which all begin with the word Lamnatzeach, and he defines it, what this word Lamnatzeach means, and his definition really comes straight out of the Rishonim, so I'll quote it from the Rishonim. Rashi, going back to Perek Dalet, Rashi on Perek Dalet describes the word Lamnatzeach as being Mischazik Valvodah, strengthening yourself in your avodah, and it's a reference to the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash, because don't forget David's Tehillim were sung by the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash, and Lam Natsech is an expression of Nun Tzadiches, which is to be victorious or to be strong, and be strong in your avodah when serving in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's almost like a directive to the Levim that when you serve in the Beis HaMikdash, be strong in your avodah and do the job well. Rashi quotes the pasuk in Ezra, chapter Gimel, pasuk Ches, Vayamidu es halavim, when Ezra brought the Yidden back to Eretz Yisrael after Golas Bavel, so it says Vayamidu es halavim, they set up the levim, or they established the levim, miben estrim shanot, from the age of 20 years old, vomola, and upwards, vomala, lenatseach amaleches Beis Hashem. Yeah. Beis Hashem. Let me put this to you properly in case I got it wrong. And they established the Levim from the age of 20 upwards. Lenatseach, there's that root, Lenatseach, like our word, Lenatseach, Amalechet Beis Hashem, over the work of the house of Hashem. And that's to be strong in that way. That's how Rashi learns it. The Mesivis Tzion learns differently. Mesivis Tzion's got a very funny definition of this word, Lamnatzeach. He says it's a direction to the choir. To the choir of Levim in the Beis HaMikdash. And here's a song. Here's a Nizma LeDavid for you to sing. Why is the choir referred to as Lamnatzeach? Says the Mesivis Tzion, because what happens in a choir, I would add my own rider, what happens in a bad choir, is that each person in the choir is trying to outclass the other. Yes, there's proper harmony and they sing well, then they'll work together well. He says everybody in the choir is trying to, they want their voice to be heard over everybody else's voice. So that's the word Lamnatzeach, to be victorious, because Reuben is trying to sing more loudly than Shimon. That's a very comical shout.
To strive to be victorious,
absolutely, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Ibn Ezra, going back still to chapter Dalet, the Ibn Ezra gives two pshatim. One pshat, he says, it comes from the word Netzach. Netzach means forever, eternity. Here's a chapter to Tehillim that David has written for all time, for eternity. And second pshat, he says, is the word Lamnatzeach, means to the conductor. To the conductor of the choir. And most translations give it as to the conductor.
It's called
Lamnatzeach. I didn't know that. Oh, thank you. Oh, good morning. So yeah, Lamnatzeach to the conductor. Yeah, very good. That's the Ibn Ezra's second chapter. Now, in our chapter, the Targum translates this pasuk again with a chiddush. L'shabocho. He translates the word Lamnatzeach as L'shabocho, to praise, to shpachta le David, praise for David. both of them an expression of shevach, of praise. The shabocha tushpachta le David. Almost as though lamnatzeach and mizmer have the same meaning of praise. That's a very, so it's David presenting praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's again, that's a chiddush. The other pshatim we've said so far, this is a chiddush. This targum is a new one on me. Now let me say another new pshat which I just discovered, and that is brought in the Gemara in Pesachim. Here we are.
No, that's a good question. You said the son of Levim in the Beis Hamikdash. Now, previously in the Mishkan, there were Tehillim already written from
earlier
times, and David Melech collected some, wrote some, collected one. In the book that is credited to David and Melech.
Yes.
But in time of the Mishkan, were the Levim singing Tehillim at all?
The answer has to be that I don't know, but it's very likely that they were. Very likely that they were, because they were. Because some Tehillim would have existed prior to David, for sure. Some Tehillim were written by Moshe Rabbeinu, I think.
True.
I think the chapters that we say on Friday nights, the Chunaranala, were written by Moshe in Mitzrayim. I heard that on a shiur given by the late. Bye bye. Oh my goodness. How embarrassing. Yeah. The Rav Kinnos. Oh my goodness.
Bernstein.
Of course, Rav Bernstein, thank you. Yes, in one of his tapes, in one of his shiurim that he gave at Mei Yisrael, he says there that he mentions there that how those chapters of Tehillim were written by Moshe.
So the tradition existed, probably in all of
them. Looks like it, yes.
And when the first steps of building the Beis Hamikdash, acquiring the land, whatever it is, I suppose he assembled all these Tehillim and he wrote new ones. And he established that they established in his honour, as if he had built this the Beis Hamikdash by singing these Tehillim.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Standing on the
idea. Yeah, in his honour. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay, here's another pshat on this word lamnatzeach, and it's brought in a Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kufiyot Tesamad Aleph. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Kana Mishum Rabbi Yishmael B'Rabbi Yosi. My dechsev, what is meant by the posuk lamnatzeach mizmer l'David? Now the reference on the side takes us back to Tehillim chapter Dalet, but it's exactly the same wording here, lamnatzeach mizmer l'David. What is the pshat in lamnatzeach mizmer l'David? The Maharsha explains the question. The question is that lamnatzeach is a musical term, and mizmer is also a musical term. So the Maharsha explains that what the Gemara means is, why do we need them both? What's the idea in having both lamnatzeach and mizmer? It's tautologist to have both two different musical terms there. Says the Gemara, Zamru, sing, lemi shenotzchem oso v'samach. Sing praises to the one whom we defeat, and who rejoices in being defeated. Now, what on earth does that mean? It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is defeated, is delighted to have been defeated, and therefore sing praise to him. So what does it mean? So the Gemara explains. Bo Ure, come along and see Shelo Kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Bottom Adam. That the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu behaves, is not at all the same as the way human beings behave. Why? Midas Basav Adam. Midas Basav Adam. The behavior of mankind is that menatzchem oso, if you defeat a man, v'od save, he's very sad. Aval bat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, notzchem oso, if you defeat him, V'samach, or V'sameach, he's happy. Shenema, and we bring a posuk. And the posuk is in Tehillim, chapter Kuvav, posuk Kaf Gimel, where the posuk says, the posuk speaks about what happened after Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel HaZahav. And what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu stepped in, Parshas Kisisa, he davened on behalf of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch was ready to destroy the whole of Klal Yisrael at that point. Moshe comes along and he dons Tasha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to his tefillah and forgave Klal Yisrael. Says the Pasuk, Lulei Moshe, let's go back to Chatzkuvav in Tehillim, Chatzkuvav Pasuk, Kafkevav. Vayomer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lahashmidom, he's going to destroy them. But what happened? Lulei Moshe, were it not for Moshe the hero, his choice one, Omad, he stood, Vaperet, in the gap, Moshe Rabbeinu stood in the gap, Lefonov before him, Lahoshit Hamoso Mehashkis, to turn back HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger from destruction. Moshe Rabbeinu stood there, he stood in the gap, and the Mefarshim say, what does it mean in the gap? It means he stood in an opportunistic, he took his opportunity. There was a fence there, a fence blocking Moshe, but either he made the gap in the fence in order to force his tefillah upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him that gap, and he utilized that gap, used his chance to dominate Hashem. So, Omar Baperet Sefonov, Lahoshib Hamasu Me'ashkis, and he turned back HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger, and so HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not destroy. Now, the point is that Moshe defeated HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, in this. Hashem is going to destroy Klal Yisrael, and Moshe davened and stopped HaKadosh Baruch Hu from destroying. And yet, Moshe is described as the hero, the choice one of Moshe. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoices in having been defeated on this. Now, our Rashi on this Gemara, and also the Rashbam on this Gemara, explain, the Pasuk says, Lam Menatzeach. Now, Menatzeach is a P.O. Not notseach, not le notseach, but la menatseach, to the one who causes someone else to succeed. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as the one who allowed Moshe to succeed against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, in dissuading Hashem from destroying Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoices in that, gives Moshe this wonderful accolade of the hero, the choice one of Hashem, so Hashem is delighted. So the Gemara says, what's this idea of Lam Natzeach, Mizmer le David? Mizmer, sing a song, Lam Menatzeach, to the one who allowed himself to be defeated and is delighted to have been defeated. Is that lovely?
Yes, but convoluted.
Convoluted, yeah, of course, yeah, but that's how the Gemara defines it. As I said, the Gemara. Now, when we did Perek Dalet, I don't think I knew this Gemara then.
No.
I should listen to the tapes again, see if I'd hear it said, but I don't think I did.
Good. Because ordinarily, you say, Lam Natzeach, the musical instruction to the conductor, Mizmer le David, as regards this particular Psalm of David, simple.
But the kashas remain. Why is it Lam Natzeach, the one who causes, and also why the double expression Lam Natzeach and Mizmer? That's how the Maharsha explains the Gemara.
Because the Mem has got the dogish in, of course, La, L.
Yeah.
Of course, the Lamed has dropped off.
I think it's because it's an implied hey idea.
Yeah.
Have you got Dogish? Have you got Dogish in the Mem of Lam Natzeach? I wonder.
No.
That's because it's, in theory it should take a Dogish, because the La, Lamed Hata, is short for Laha, so it's an implied hey idea. But the Mem with the Shaval, especially this Mem Shaval, which is the Shaval No, does not require the Dogish to strengthen it. And so a mem with a shavah, a shavah no, it often drops its dogish. There are about six letters which, even when they should take a dogish, if they have a shavah, they drop the dogish. It's kuf, lamed, mem, nun, yud, and sometimes a tzadi.
Oh.
Yeah.
Of course, it doesn't make any difference to us in the pronunciation.
No. It's a shavah no, lamed matzeach. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay, so
good. So we've done three words. Lametzach and Le David. Okay, so we've done three words. We've finished Pasuk Aleph. Good. Pasuk Beis. You right, Louis? Okay. Pasuk Beis. Ad Omer Hashem Tishkachini Netzach. For how long, Hashem, will you forget me if forever? Ad Omer, for how long, Oshis Eitzos Benashi, will I need to place advice for my life or on my soul? Yogun bilvavi yomam, there is sadness on my heart in the daytime. as ono, for how long, yorum ovi oloi, will my enemy be exalted over me. Okay, a very hard pasuk. Yeah, let's have a look. So the first thing to note is a piece of Yalkut Shemeni. Yeah. So the Yalkut Shemeni says, he brings in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says that we have a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Tesvav, pasuk Kaf Tes. This is on the occasion when Shmuel Hanovi went to Shaul after Shaul failed in the battle against Amalek, and he didn't kill Agog, and he didn't kill the animals, and he didn't kill the women. So Shaul comes along and he has the bad news. Shmuel comes to Shaul himself and the bad news, he's no longer king, he's lost the melucha, all very sad. And he turns to, and one of the things that Shmuel says to Shaul, gotta be careful what the name's here, is, it's, here it is in the Shmuel Aleph Tesvav Kaftes, the Gam Nitzach Yisrael Le Yishaker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as Nitzach Yisrael, the Eternal One of Israel. Le Yishaker, he won't tell a lie. V'lo Yinochim, nor will he go back on his word. Why? Kilo Adam, who is not a human being, Le Yinochim, who might well change his mind or who might go back on his word. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to go back on his word. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said that you're losing the Melucha, and that's it. You lost it, final word. That's it, you've lost it. That's one pshat. Yeah. Second pshat is Hashem is not going to lie to his people. Hashem will always look after his people. So the bad news is you're no longer the melech. But the good news is, don't worry, they'll carry on, they'll be safe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look after them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as Netzach Yisrael. He is the Eternal One of Israel. He is the Netzach Yisrael. So here, David is turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is how the Yalkut Shemoni explains our pasuk. David turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Ad ona Hashem tishkacheni netzach. For how long will you, netzach, forget me? You are netzach, and for how long will you continue to forget me? And how on earth can you? How can you forget me? After all, this very name, or this very word, netzach, it's described as the Netzach Yisrael Le Yishakeh. You're not going to lie. You don't go back on your word. You don't forget Klal Yisrael. So therefore, for how long can you forget me for? How long will you forget me for?
It's a comment. You know, Netzach Yisrael Le Yishakeh, so at the time of the First World War, there was a Jewish organization in Israel called Nili. Netzach, the first letters are Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishakeh. Their motto was Nili.
Nili, Netzach.
And they were spying on behalf of the British to help the British occupy Palestine against the Turks. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I've heard of Nili. I didn't know.
If you go to Zichron Yaakov, there's other museums there where the families live. The family. Anyway, there's the Agricultural Institute set up, and he discovered one of these leaders in 1923, a wheat which will grow anywhere in the world. A remarkable discovery, which is acknowledged around the world. That's the first thing called the Lily Spider. Yes. Secondly, may I make a very simple translation of this? It says, Adono Hashem Tishkocheini Neza. It seems to be a contradiction. How long, and you assume it's going to be forever. So rather I would say, how long, Ribbono Shel Olam, are you going to have it in mind that you will forever forget us?
Ah.
Promise us there's an end that you will eternally forget us. So that it will come to a point where it will stop your intention to destroy us, and we will...
Because the contradiction between Adonai and Netzach. So you mean, right now it seems as though you want to forget
us. You have us in mind. How long will you have us in mind to destroy us?
How long will you have us in mind
to destroy us? Let the point come when you lose that eternal...
You lose the shift.
You give it up. So that's what...
Very nice. Yeah. Oh, very nice. It's actually, I think what you're saying, your kasha of the contradiction between Adana and Netzach is asked in a similar way by the Me'iri,
right,
who says, well, Netzach means forever. But if we're saying Adana, then it means there's a limit to it. So he answers that the word netzach does literally mean forever, but in this context it would mean for a very, very, very long time. And he quotes a pasuk in the beginning of Mishpatim, excuse me, where the pasuk says at the beginning of Mishpatim about the Eved Ivri, where the pasuk says there, it's chapter Katal of Pasuk Vod, the Eved Ivri who wants to stay on working for his master, the master makes his hole in his ear, and he serves him le'olam, forever. Mm-hmm. But it's not forever. He goes out at Yovel. So he says this word le'olam, it means literally means forever, but don't take it literally. It just means for an extremely long time up until the Yovel year. Likewise here, netzach literally means forever, but it's a poetical form meaning for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's similar to what you're asking about the contradiction between Ad Onah and Netzach.
Yeah, well, you're saying Netzach in that case is the same as Netzach, is Ad Onah in this case.
Ad Onah.
Saying the same, but. But nice to think that God's got it in mind to destroy us forever, but let us call a halt.
Is it the remembrance of the Chet of the Egod? Is it every generation?
Yes, I think so. I can't remember where it's brought now, but whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes for whatever reason, he adds on VAT for the Egod.
So could this ever mean that remembrance of the punishment? Bit of the punishment, because he was going to destroy Israel. The remembrance of that punishment is going to be on the.
Could be, yeah, maybe. It could be, I don't know. Yeah. Okay, let's come back to the Yalkut Shemoni on this pasuk, where the Yalkut Shemoni brings, let me get this right, in the name of Rabbi Rachya. Yeah, Rabbi Rachya quotes, let me just find it. I'm sorry, I knew something was wrong. I'm doing this in the wrong sequence. I'm sorry, not wrong. I'm going back again, I'm sorry. We'll come back to the Yalkut Shemoni, but we're not yet ready for it. I thought something was wrong. Go back to start with Rashi. You can't go wrong with Rashi. Rashi learns this. Rashi brings this again from the Midrashim, that the Pasuk says, Ad Onah, no less than four times. If we take it with. Pesukim base with Gimel together. Ad Onah Hashem Tishkarei Menetzach. Ad Onah Tashkes Benachem Emeni. Ad Onah Asher Seites Benafshi Yagam Bulvav Yemam. Ad Onah Yoremei V'Yaloi. Oh, so this phrase Ad Onah comes four times. Why did it come four times? So Rashi says it's connected the four Goluyos. Four Goluyos that Klal Yisrael has experienced. And this is really expanded upon in the Yalkut Shemoni. Oh, so this is where we come to the big piece of Yalkut Shemoni. Four Goluyos. What are those four Goluyos? Golus Bavel, Golus Modai, Golus Yavon, and Golus Edom.
Rome.
Now the missing one is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim doesn't get a mention, and there's a reason for that which we'll come to. So. Four particular Goliaths, Golos Bovel after the Churban Bayis Rishon, Golos Modai when Klal Yisrael were then under the power of Persia, really referring to the story of Purim, Golos Yavon referring to Hanukkah, of course, when the Greeks held power over Eretz Yisrael, and Golos Edom, which is the Golos in which we still are. Now, Rabbi Yitzchok in the Yalkut Shemoni in the Medrash explains that these four expressions, Ad Onah, really are Midah Keneged Midah. Why is that? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the same phrase, or maybe I should say almost the same phrase, four times in the Torah against Klal Yisrael. Why is this? Well, if you have a look, first of all, in Shemos, it's chapter 9, Pasuk Kafches, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael the mon, it's in Parshas B'Shalach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael the mon, and he informs them there's going to be double portion of mon on Friday, no mon on Shabbos, and don't bother going out on Shabbos because there isn't going to be any mon on Shabbos. And of course what happens is that a few of the Rishoyim went out on Shabbos to look for mon. And the Medrash says how they even planted someone there to make it look as though the mon had fallen. And there it is in chapter 10, Zayin, Pasuk Kavches, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayom Hashem Moshe, Ad Ono Me Anten Lishma Mitzvasai V'Torah. For how long are you going to refuse to listen to God, my mitzvahs and my teachings and my Torah? So that's the first one. That's the first Ad Ono. The second one and the third one are both in Pasha Shlach Lecha, and they're in connection with the Meraglim. So it's chapter Yudalev, Pasuk Yudalev, where the Pasuk says, Vayem Hashem Moshe, Ad Ono Yina Atsuni Homazeh, how long are the people going to carry on provoking me? And then later on, just a bit later, still in chapter Yudalev, Pasuk Kav Zayin, where the Pasuk says, Hashem says, Ad Mosai, not quite the same as Ad Ono, but Ad Mosai, oops, I'm sorry, I made a small mistake. Just go back to the first, that other one. Chapter Yudalev, Pasuk Yudalev, Vayem Hashem Moshe, Ad Ono Yina Atsuni Homazeh, how long are they going to continue provoking me? V'ad ono, that's the third ad ono, lo yaminu vi, and so how long are they not going to believe in me? V'chol ha'oses asher asisi v'kibbe, with all the signs I've given to them. So there we have three times ad ono, and just a little bit later in the same chapter, chapter Yudalev, Pasuk Kavzan, ad mosai lo eidah hara hazes, to how long will this evil nation? So ad mosai is very similar to ad ono, to how long? Says Rabbi Yitzchok in the Alkut Shemeni, we have these three expressions ad ono and one expression ad mosai, said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu against Klal Yisrael. Hashem complaining about Klal Yisrael. So those complaints have now given rise to David's tzoros, and not just David's tzoros, but the tzoros of all Klal Yisrael for all time, turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the same expression, Ad Ono, for how long are you going to forget us, how long are you going to hide your face from us, how long are the enemies going to be have the advantage over us, and so on. So it's Midah Kenegah Midah. Hashem was forced into saying Ad Ono against Klal Yisrael, and so Klal Yisrael are punished by putting in situations where they turn around to Hashem and also say Ad Ono. Now of course, the puzzle, and these four, says Rabbi Yitzchok, these four times Ad Ono are Kenegah the four Goliaths. Ad Ono, Hashem Tishkechen in Netzach is Bovel, Ad Ono Tastir, Espanecha Memeni is Modai, Ad Ono Osher Seitzes Benafshi, Yogim Uvavi Yomam is Yavon, and Ad Ono Yorim Ovi Oloi is Edom. So these four, the four times Ad Ono, can I get the four different exiles that we've gone through? What about Golas Mitzrayim? The very first Golas of all. And that was my Kasha. I thought, what's going on with that Golas Mitzrayim? And I realized that the answer must surely be because all these cases in the Torah of Ad Ono applied after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mm-hmm. So Golas Mitzrayim cannot be included in this because these four times Ad Ono gave rise to, each one gave rise to a different Golas in which we've suffered. Well, it can't, not one of them can possibly be Golas Mitzrayim because the first time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to say Ad Ono against Klal Yisrael was after Yetzias Mitzrayim in connection with the Mon. They went out to collect the Mon on Shabbos.
Sometimes you say Golas, sometimes you say
Goliath. Goluyos is a plural. Exiles, yes, is a plural. Golas is the singular. So Golas Mitzrayim can't be as a punishment for any one of these Ad Onos because the very first one happened after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yeah, so it's simple, well, simple point.
The thought was going through my mind, if you think the Golas Mitzrayim has been admitted, but then of course when Dovid HaMelech comes to prominence, when he meets Goliath.
Oh, Goliath the person?
Goliath. And yeah. I wonder if there's any connection.
Oh, I don't know.
Seen that term, it's his name.
It's his name, who knows?
So much that it's an indication of the future Goliaths.
Yeah, yeah, who knows? Could be, who knows?
The message you defeat that Goliath as you defeat the other Goliath.
Yeah, could be, yeah. Who knows? I have to tell you a most wonderful thought on this medrash. I will introduce it by giving kavod to one of my son's rebbes in school, in Beis Medrash Elyon school. He had a most wonderful rebbe, many, many wonderful rebbes there. One of them is a Rebbe Shisha, who introduced to my son the Sefer on Tehillim by Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky. who is a survivor of the Holocaust, or rather he escaped from Hungary before the Second World War, and he went out to Israel, where he became the Rav of Yerushalayim, Rav Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky. And this Rebbe, Rebbe Shisha, who's one of my son's rabbis, was a Dushinsky Chosid, as far as I know, and this Rebbe Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky wrote a Sefer on Tehillim. And my son heard about it from his Rebbe, and he told me about it, and he said, Daddy, you should get hold of this Sefer, so you should. And when I was in Eretz Yisrael for Sammy Krasner's Bar Mitzvah a couple of months ago, I went and I bought this Sefer, a very small Sefer, and I bought it, and from there, after that, I went to the Kosel, I was at the Kosel, and while I was at the Kosel, I learnt through this chapter and in this Sefer. So this is rather nice. I learnt this piece at the Kosel a couple of months ago. And I must also say, on a personal note, that this Rav Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky wrote a Haskama for my late great grandfather Sefer. My great grandfather wrote a Sefer, a Pirush on the Shari Dura, and he and Rav Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky, still in Hungary, as they were at the time, wrote a Haskama for that Sefer. And also, one of his Talmidim, whom he brought out of Hungary and rescued them all from Hungary, the Hungarian Jews were taken in 1944, he and his yeshiva got out before the war, and one of the Bachrim in his yeshiva was, I think, the great-grandfather or maybe grandfather of my son-in-law. So there's a nice personal connection there. Oh, now, listen to this vort. This is an absolute knockout vort. Says Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky, the Medrash tells us, this Rabbi Yitzchak in the Yalkut Shemini tells us, how each of these phrases points to one of the four Galuyos. So he says, it's not enough just to say, well, you've got four Galuyos, four times out, honor, and therefore each one corresponds to one God. He says, no, it's got to be precise. Each one of these four really pertains to each one of the Galuyos for a specific reason. And he takes us through it. He says as follows. The first one is in Pasuk Beis, Ad Ona Hashem Tishkacheni Netzach. How long will you forget me forever? Or for how long will you still have in mind that you wish to forgive me forever? Oh, so he says, what's the connection? That one is, says Rabbi Yitzchak, that's Golas Bavel. What's the connection with Golas Bavel? So he says, Golas Bavel was only 70 years, but it did seem an eternity. Why? Because they'd been given a guarantee by Yirmiyahu that it would only last 70 years. But the cheshbon of when those 70 years began was subject to much doubt and dispute. Ahasuerus got it wrong, and Belshazzar got it wrong, as to how long these 70 years would last. That's why Belshazzar celebrated his big feast.
Too soon, yeah.
Yeah, it was too soon, and he.
Because the time was up, and the Jews.
It was all over. So the whole. They're here forever, and so he celebrated, took out the kingdom of the Basement English, and of course he died that night. But the calculation of those 70 years seemed like an eternity. Why? Because nobody really knew when it began. Yeah? So therefore it slept on and on. It's like an interminable lesson. I tell my students in school, like an interminable lesson. I say, don't worry, the bell will ring. The violin seems it's going to go on forever. But don't worry, you will get out to break. That's one thing. A second reason, he says, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I should say as well, that this pshat that given by Rabbi Yosef Dushinsky is also brought in the Al-Sheikh. Very, very similar pshat is brought in the Al-Sheikh. Not quite the same. The Al-Sheikh adds on one extra thing to this, and that is that the Golas indeed would have gone on forever. He quotes from the Medrash that the Golas Bavel would have gone on forever were it not for the fact that Rochel Imenu davened. When the tribes again, when Tanchayus took the tribes out, they slechem, and the 10 tribes are taken out, and she davened for them, Ko Baroma, Nishma, Mehi, Zamramim. We're going to lay it on the Haftarah, yeah, isn't it? Yeah, and on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. Mehi, Zamramim. Rochel Mavakar Barneha. Thank you. Yeah. So Rochel's Tefillah at that time saves the Golas from being an eternal Golas, but it would otherwise have been an eternal Golas. And with that, we understand why it's Golas Bavel that is referred to by the phrase Adon Hashem Tishkacheni Netzach, because that's the Golas that seemed to go on forever. Yeah. Also, the Rabbi Yossi Dushinsky points out that there in Golas Bavel, it looks as though Judaism was finished. Yiddishkeit was over because they married out and they didn't learn Torah, and it took Ezra and Nehemiah to restore all of that later on. The next one, Ad onatate tanecha mimeni, is the golus of modai. Well, this is easy, because it's tas tiras panecha. Tas is to hide. And that's all about the nes nistar of Purim, was golus modai. It was a hidden nes. The story of Megillas Esther looks like a good fairy tale, without the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu evident. Hashem's name isn't there, that's right, and the whole thing was an Nes Nistar. So that sits very well with the expression of Adonai Tastir Espanecha Mimeni being an expression of Nistar, of Golos Modai. Golos Yovon is the next one, which is Adonai Oshis Eitzos Benafshi. For how long will I need to give advice to myself or give advice to my soul? Says Rav Yosef Sudashinsky, the Medrash says this is Golos Yovon. What were the Yovonim up to? The Yovonim's plan was Lahashkicham Teresecha Ulavira Mechukei Ritzenecha. As we say, Hanukkah. Yeah? It was a spiritual thing. They wanted Klal Yisrael to stop keeping the Torah. Yeah. So
they didn't want to kill them physically.
That's it. It wasn't physical. It was a spiritual thing. They had time to give the Torah. So he says, it's my nefesh. That's my neshama for my spiritual welfare. I had to give myself eitzus in order to keep the Torah. The Yavonim were so desperate to steer me away from the Torah that in order to keep me on track for the Torah, I had to be in a situation of oshis eitzus benafshi to give my soul advice to stick closely to the Torah. And it was done very much with mesiris nefesh to keep the Torah as in the times of the Yavonim. And the last one is Adonai Yorim Ovi Aloi. This is probably the most beautiful pshati of all. Adonai Yorim Ovi Aloi. So I quote, I must show you this. This he quotes from a Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas Vayetze. This one is Golos Edom, right? So says the Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas Vayetze. Now let me get this right. It's Os Kufkaf Aleph. Says as follows. He brings here that we have that Vayachalom Yaakov has his dream at the beginning of the Sedra, and he sees the ladder, and he sees Malachei Elokim Olim V'Yodim going up and down the ladder. He sees the Malachim going up and down the ladder. So says the Medrash, Melamed, it teaches us Shehera Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeYaakov Avinu Sorah Shel Bovel Ole Shivim Chavokim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed Yaakov the Malach of Bovel, every country has a Malach, going up 70 rungs on the ladder. The Malach of Bovel goes up for 70 rungs, and then the Yered, and then it came down. Of course, corresponding to the time that Bovel had us in their grip for 70 years. Veshel Modai. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Yaakov the Malach of Modai, Ole Chamishim Ushanayim, going up for 52 years. It seems, I didn't know this, it seems the Golos Modai went on for 52 years. And so the Malach of Modai goes up the ladder 52 rungs, and then again, it came down. Shel Yovon, then Yaakov was shown by Hashem the Malach of Yovon, of Greece, going up, how many rungs? Meo Ushmonim.
Modai was Greece, no?
No, Modai is Persia.
Persia,
really far.
Yeah,
as in Homon. So Yovan is Greece, and that went on, and Hashem showed Yaakov the Malach of Yovan going up, how many? Me'ot Ushmonim, 180 rungs, and then coming down. And I guess that Golos Yovan went on for 180 years, I presume. Veshel Edom, now the Malach of Edom, Ole went up. Veloyota come up, yeah. And he didn't know for how long he went up for.
Hasn't come down yet.
But Usfa Shaar at that time, this story Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov was terrified. Amar, he said, Tomar, it seems to say She'ein Lazei Yerida. This Malach is not coming down, and Edom will have us in their grip for eternity.
He ran the wrong number.
Amar LeYaakov Yisroel, Hashem turns to Yaakov and says, "Don't worry, I'll take us Israel." It's like Al Tira of the Yaakov, Al Techos Yisrael, Pasuk, Al Techos Yisrael. Don't fear Yisrael. Afilo Atarua Oso, Yoshev Etzli. Even if you see the Malach of Edom sitting next to me, don't worry. Meshomani Merido. I'm going to bring him down from there. Even if you see the Malach of Edom sitting right next to me, sitting next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, relax. It's okay. He's coming down. Not yet, but he's coming down at some stage. Yeah. Oh. So Rabbi Yosef Dushinsky explains as follows. What does the pasuk say? Ad ono, this last ad ono, which is the golos of Edom, is ad ono yorum ovi aloi. My enemy is above me, is exalted over me, because the malach of Edom went up and just stayed up and up and up, and then we still don't know how long he's going to be up there for. So he's yorum, he's going to be up on high for an awfully long time. And it rattled Yaakov, it worried Yaakov.
How
yeah.
Does it fit in with the Midrash of when Yaakov was going out of the land, going to God, the angels of the land accompanied him, and they went up. And the angels of Babel, where he was going, Namarayim, were coming down to greet him.
Yeah, this same aspect of the Midrash. I don't think it's a problem. It's just two different aspects, two different Midrashim on the same psukim about seeing the Malach Elikim Olim V'yodim. That's how the Malachim of Israel were going up, and the Malachim of Chutzot coming down to accompany him along the way.
He was being guarded on the way.
That's right. Yeah, it's two different Midrashim on the same aspect. Yeah, the same pasuk. Yeah. Yeah, and as I said, the Alshich, long piece of Alshich on this, gives the same shot and adds a few bits and pieces, but it's essentially the same shot as Rabbi Yosef Dushinsky. Isn't that beautiful? So each ad ono corresponding to each of the four galuyos, but it's very, very precise in the wording. Much more than that. Now, the Alshich also quotes a Medrash Rabbah, which is the same Medrash with a slightly different flavour to it. And this Medrash Rabbah is in Parsha Shlach Lecha, it's Parsha Tezayin, and it's Os Yud Dalet. Now there, it's on this pasuk in Shlach Lecha, Ve'emah Shem HaMishad, Ono Yina Atsumi Ho Mazeh, Adono. For how long are the people going to provoke me or annoy me? Oma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Beis Tzavachus Tzivachti Mipneichem, I have objected twice to you, with twice in the same pasuk saying Adono twice. Sofchem, but eventually you, Letzaveach Arba, you're going to call back at me four times. B'shibud malchios I'm just going to get back on that last section. Do you mind? Because the tape. I'm going to catch it. Just give it a second.
Start at the beginning.
Yeah. Okay, so a reference to the Medrash Rabbah in Shlach Lecha, Parsha Tezayin, Os Yud Dalet, where he's got the word Ad Ono twice. Here we are. Ad Ono Yonatsuni Omazev, Ad Ono Lo Yaminuzi. So twice in that sentence, got Ad Ono. HaKadosh Baruch Hu returns to Moshe and he says, I've sang Ad Ono twice, but your people, Klal Yisrael, are going to have to come back to me and say Ad Ono four times, which is, of course, our Pesukim here in Tehillim. So the Alshich asks, it's not fair. It's not fair. If we only caused Hashem to say it twice in this pasuk, how come Hashem is punishing us with four times? This medrash ignores the other ad ono concerning the mon and the later ad mosai, also about the miraglim, and just concentrates on these two ad onos. Says these two ad onos said by Hashem will cause Klal Yisrael to say ad ono four times. So the Alshich says that's not normal. Normally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards many more times than is deserved and punishes less times than is truly deserved. Here it seems to be the opposite. Hashem had to say ad ono twice, and yet we are going to have to say ad ono four times. So the Alshich asks the Kasha, and the answer is very simply. He says as follows, that the original plan of Churban Beis HaMikdash, both first destruction of both the first and the second, were going to be very, very large scale, massive scale destructions, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that it would be too much for Klal Yisrael to cope with, and so instead of doing two massive destructions, he broke it down into bite-sized portions. I mean, still, Churban Beis HaMikdash and the destruction of Klal Yisrael was still horrendous, but it was somehow copable with. And so he says that, hence we have these four Goliaths, which make it a little bit more palatable or copable with. And he says that the first two, which is Golos Bovel and Golos Modai, relate to the times just after the first Beis HaMikdash, while the second two, Golos Yavon and Golos Edom, are times of the second Beis HaMikdash. And he says it's the two which are broken down into smaller portions, which result in four. That's his answer. It's simply to make it a little bit easier for us. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. That's the Medrash Rabbah in Shach Lecha. Okay. Okay, still on possible.
The word godless is possibly godless Yavon. The Greeks never took the Yidden out of
it. It's true. They didn't take us out of the land, but they took the land over from us.
Oh, yes.
And that's as good as.
So you can say that a goddess could be being conquered
an
by.
An internal goddess.
Internal goddess, yeah. We were subject to them.
Internal goddess. The people remained there, but the whole Yiddishkeit was taken away.
Well,
they
taken over by the Greeks, yeah. Okay. Now, the. What's this? Yeah, this is still in the Al-Sheikh. Yes, the Al-Sheikh also says a very interesting thing. He says Pasuk Dalad begins with the expression Habita. Habita, gaze, have a look. Anini Hashem, answer me Hashem Elokai, answer me Hashem. So he says this word Habita relates to Golus Bavel. Think about it. But it relates to Golus Bavel. Why? He says, at the time of Golus Bavel, he quotes a Medrash which I did not track down, and I think he brings it in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that at the time of Golus Bavel, Klal Yisrael bowed down to idols of Nebuchadnezzar. However, despite bowing down to these idols, it was just on the surface. Maybe it was wrong of them to do so, but internally they didn't believe in them at all. And internally, they had kavona and bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Nebuchadnezzar was happy because it looks as though they're bowing down to his idols. But internally, it was just on the surface. Within, they had no intentions of serving Avodah Zarah. That seems to be a medrash. Oh, I couldn't find the medrash. So hence the word says the Al Sheikh at the beginning of Pasuk Dalet, Habita, look inside, have a good close look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at what's going on inside. The Klal Yisrael at the time, yes, they might be bowing down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, but that's just outwardly. Inwardly, they have no intention of doing so. That's how he knows it. So, yes, so Habito therefore refers to Golos Bavel. Then this is the Al Sheikh taking this idea of the four Golios through the whole chapter. Ha'ira, still in Pasuk Dalet, Ha'ira Enai, give light to my eyes, is a reference to Golos Madai, which is Persia, times of Haman. Why? He says because Mordechai was the light for Klal Yisrael. In fact, he quotes it from the Pasuk of Mordechai Yoda Iskal Hashem Na'asa. The Mordechai knew what was going on, and it seems that Elio Anovi had come to Mordechai and told Mordechai all about Haman's plans. So that Mordechai therefore is a representation of light. Ha'ira Enai is light. Give light. This is how the Al-Sheikh puts it. I thought of another thing, and that's the Gemara in Megillah, Yud Beis Amud Beis, analyzes the pasuk Ishu Ayav Shushan Habira Shmo Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Shimi Ben Kishi Shimini, and the Gemara says Ben Yair. What's this idea? Ben Yair is Ben Sheheir Einehem Shel Yisrael Bisfiloso. Mordechai was the one who lit up the eyes of Klal Yisrael through his tefillah. So again, so our pasuk Ha'ira Einai pasuk Dalet is corresponds to Golos Madai, because Mordechai was the light within Golos Madai. Then the next one in pasuk Hey Pen Yomar Ovi Yecholtiv, lest my enemy says I've conquered him, says that the Al Sheikh that refers to Golos Yavon. Why? Because Golos Yavon was, this is, they're trying to stop us keeping the Torah, and they said either break the Torah or we kill you. And either way, they would rejoice. Yavon would rejoice, the Greeks were rejoicing, would rejoice if Klal Yisrael gave up Yiddishkeit, as unfortunately many did, the Misyavnim, as they adopted the Greek culture. So that would make the Greeks rejoice, and those Yidden who held fast to the Torah values and would not give up the Yiddishkeit, so the Greeks killed them, and that also made the Greeks rejoice. So he learns this Pen Yomar Ovi Yecholtiv is a reference to Golos Yavon, and likewise Tzorah Yogilu Ki Emot, my enemies rejoice when I slip. And the last what pasuk, Vani Bechastu Chavatachti, I rejoice, I trust in your kindness, and Yogeli Bibishasecha, that he says is Golos Edom. That Salatan Golis Edom. That the idea is Bitochen. Why Bitochen? And he quotes this Medrash again about the Malach of Edom going up to Shemayim and not coming down, and therefore it's down to Bitochen. We trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he will come down eventually. So it's all Bechastuch of Atachti, it's down to Bitochen. So the Alshich extends this medrash right the way through the whole chapter, that all these different expressions used by David, each one pertains to different golos. Yeah. Right. It's 11 o'clock. I'm happy to carry on. Should we stop there? Okay. Good. Yeah, that's fine.
You know, it is. One's brain.